Yo, what's goody? It is Bear in the building. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. On today's episode, we have a very special guest named Elliot Dew. Please welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. You want to give the audience a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Elliot Dew. I am 25 years old. I grew up in Derby, went to school in Rose Hill, and then I've been in Wichita ever since I turned 18. I'm Chinese. My pronouns are he, him, his. And how I identify in the community, I'm just your standard run-of-the-mill 5-foot trans guy. So
you said stand-in-the-middle 5-foot trans guy? Is that what you said?
Standard run-of-the-mill.
Standard run-of-the-mill?
Yeah.
Okay. What an introduction. Now, you've identified as transgender for like the last 10 years now, you said,
socially? Yeah, okay. On Transgender Day of Visibility. It's going to be my official 10-year anniversary.
Okay. For that, so. Yes, that is coming up on March 31st, by the way.
Easter.
Trans Day of Visibility. So what did that look like for you 10 years ago? Like, you came out on Trans Day Visibility?
Yeah, without even realizing it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a process because my sophomore year of high school, my English teacher was like, all right, we're going to write a memoir about ourselves. And I was like, hey, I'm coming out as transgender in this memoir. And then that's how it happened and how the cookie crumbled. So,
okay. Did you know it was Trans Day of Visibility that day? Like,
not at all.
Okay. So how did you know, like, what was your memoir? What did you write in your memoir?
So this one influential YouTuber, Alex Birdie, he is a famous FTM dude from, I think, UK or so.
FTM?
Female to male transgender, just okay. Like me. Okay. So, and he basically had a video before he started testosterone called The Little Things. And in that video, he just started naming a bunch of different things about being trans mask that always bothered him. And at the end of the video, your boy was in just absolute tears. And I'm like, that is so me.
Okay. And
that's how I realized I'm transgender, so okay, it was the final piece of the puzzle.
All right, so that you watched that video and you were watching, at least his name's Alex, mm-hmm. You were watching them long before, like, that day that you wrote the memoir, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and so when you wrote the memoir, what did you say?
I said, basically, this is who I am. I identify as Elliot now with he, him pronouns, and this is my story, essentially. Just like you, leading up to everything. So,
were you a part of the community before then? Did you like come out before? Okay, so how did you identify before coming out as trans?
Before I came out as trans, I was the biggest flaming lesbian anyone had ever seen in Derby at that time. And
okay. So when you came out, you were in high school? Like in
my sophomore year of high school is when I came out as trans. My seventh grade year of middle school was when I came out as bisexual or lesbian, so.
Okay. Now let's rewind to, so you've had multiple coming out stories. So let's like go to the original seventh grade coming out story. What was that like for you?
Very traumatic.
Okay, traumatic. How was that traumatic for you?
Just because my family showed their true colors. And little did I realize, my father grew up on a small little family farm in Marion, Kansas, which is super duper Catholic. And then my mother was super duper Christian. And they were both just like, haha, no gays in this house. And so I was like, okay. And I hid it from them for about 6 years or so until they caught me making out with my ex-girlfriend at a park across the street from my grandma's house in Rose Hill, Kansas.
And then how did that go? Like when they... Well, so did you have a sit down with your family and mm-hmm. No at all?
No.
So when you came out in seventh grade, how did they find out that you were that kiss, or was it before?
No, before it was my ex-girlfriend, my very first ex-girlfriend and love of my life ever. Her mother called my parents and was like, did you know that your daughter's turning my daughter gay and this and that and her daughter? They just released a big old can of worms.
Oh, man. So then your parents, like, sit you down and had a conversation with you after that?
They were just like, there's no gay bullshit in this household and this and that. And And I was like, okay, live by those rules until I turned 18. And then 2 weeks after that, I was peaced out on them and moved out into a two-bedroom apartment with like five other people and like a bunch of animals.
Okay, so do you have a relationship with your family as of right now?
We talk, not often, but it is what it is. I call them in emergencies.
Yeah, so they're still there for you, like, when they're needed. That's very good. I'm sorry that, like, it's different, and I don't know, like, I want to talk about, like, you being Chinese and the Chinese culture of that nature, just so, like, everyone gets to understand, like, that's why I want to do this podcast. It's like, because is different cultures and different backgrounds. So, like, what?
Oh, I'm adopted.
Okay, you're adopted.
White people. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, what is that? What is that like?
I don't fit in with the white kids. I don't fit in with the Chinese people at all. Like, because I just don't have that culture or the knowledge or the language, like, in me.
Yeah. So, so your family being white, what does that look like for you and like you're identifying and how are you navigating that? Or do you navigate it?
It's an interesting process. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
My parents to this day still misgender me and dead name me. So even though I look and sound like this and I've been on testosterone for 7 years and counting. So,
okay. So I gotta rewind all the way back. So you're adopted. When did you become adopted?
I was adopted at 6 months old, brought to the States at 7 months.
Okay.
By my white parents, and then I've been in Kansas ever since. So.
Okay. And do them raising you, did they help you identify with like being Chinese in within their culture, like, or did you get just raised white?
At the beginning of it, we had this FCC group of families of Chinese children where we all just like got together of all the white parents that adopted Chinese kids in the Wichita area. And we all celebrated like Easter, Chinese New Year, this and that together. And it was pretty cool. And then as I got older, they just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So do you have those times where you get to like tap in with your culture or anything, or
not anymore? No.
Okay.
The most I do is I go to Grace Market and the nice lady behind the counter calls me son.
Okay. Well, I'm like, that's so interesting. I feel like that's like a whole nother podcast within itself, just like being raised by a white family and having to navigate your culture because you don't identify like the way that they identify. So, and how do you process that at 25 years old now, still trying to search for that community and whatnot?
It's a wild ride, for sure.
So, do you have siblings?
I have one adopted little sister. She is 6 years younger than me, and I love her with all my heart, even though we don't have any contact anymore. So, because our parents just broke that off with their homophobia and all that, and then they raised her with those same idealistics. So,
So what support system do you have right now for you?
My found family, for sure.
Yeah. And when you say found family, is that the people that you moved in with, your roommates and stuff like that, or?
Yeah, my roommate for sure is definitely a strong like support system member. And then just all the friends and family that I've made throughout the queer community here in Wichita, for sure, is part of my found family.
And what does that look like for, like, have you been able to find like queer friends and family who are also Chinese, or just like
what is one? Yes, but he passed away earlier this year, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
You like pretty much hang out with white people all the time, or is it pretty mixed group of diversity?
It's a mixed group of diversity, for sure.
And are they like, do they also identify as trans, or?
It's the whole LGBT mafia, my friends list.
All the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dope. So you said you came out seventh grade to your family. And how did your family react to that coming out?
Not well.
Yeah.
It was a fiasco, as one may say.
Yeah. So. Why was it a fiasco?
Because just like for everyone. Everyone's world just got turned upside down in my family, except for my little sister, who was like in elementary school at that time and didn't know what was going on.
Okay. So it's like, do you feel the love from them still? Or?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't feel like they've just like ostracized you and just like.
No.
Good, good.
The only time I feel like ostracized or anything like that is when they just dead name me or mispronoun me constantly. Mm-hmm. Every single chance they get, especially in public, to like random servers, people helping me, just like in the Verizon store, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, can you help her with her phone, please?
Yeah. And do you like, correct them?
No.
You don't correct them? You just...
I just stare blissfully off in the distance and dissociate as hard as I physically can.
Yeah. What does that, like, make you feel like on the inside when someone does misgender you?
I'm just like, dude, look at me. Come on. Be real.
Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
What, now you've been in this process of socially coming out as transgender for 10 years now, you said.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
What has that been like for you the last 10 years of your life?
It's been... pretty interesting, to say the very least. Men's bathrooms, the worst part about transitioning ever, swear to God. They're just so disgusting, and just, it ain't.
I mean, the woman's bathroom is not the greatest either. You would think that it's probably a little better, but they're still be nasty too, like.
No, men don't aim anywhere. You walk in the stall, it's sticky. You try to sit down, it's sticky. It's all bad.
Learn how to aim.
Please.
That's funny. So have you had any like conflict with using like the restroom or anything like that? Like,
once at a local bar here a couple years back, they saw my ID and then they pointed me to the women's restroom after I walked in the men's restroom. Super duper full of a bunch of dudes just at urinals. And I walked immediately out and decided to hold it for the next hours that we were going to be at the bar. So,
okay. So like other than that experience right there, like you haven't had any problems with, how do you feel about like the bathroom law situations, like the discussion, like what's your take on that?
It's all BS. Just let people go when they have to go.
Yeah.
It's simple as that.
Today, when I use the restroom, in like a lounge area, and it has like a man and woman on there, but both of the bathrooms have the exact same thing. It's a toilet. There's no urinal in there. So I just, the woman's stall was occupied. So I went into the men's restroom, and when I came out, the dirty look that I got, I'm just like, it's the same bathroom. Like
it's unisex.
Yeah. I was like, it's okay. Like, and I don't understand like in that setting, like, it's literally the same bathroom, and you're making it gender, fit a gender when it's literally the same thing. But maybe it's because the men don't know how to aim, and women don't want to sit down in it.
Honest to God, nobody wants to sit in that.
What other like socially? So would you say that's what you've socially been doing? We say socially for the last 10 years. Like what other? What do you mean by socially? Just like,
I've been identifying as Elliot instead of my dead name. Mm-hmm. That remains dead except on paychecks. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, was it last year Kansas passed the no ID changing? Is that correct?
I believe so. I'm not up to date on politics.
Were you able to change your ID and stuff like that, or
I missed the deadline by 3 days.
Damn. So yeah,
my ID still says my birth gender. So
okay. Now that you've transitioned and like it's been 10 years from now, like what progress have you seen from like when you first started to like now today?
Way more acceptance now that I pass like as male. Mm-hmm. And I'm in stealth mode, as most trans dudes would say, within the community. But, yeah, people show their true colors when they think they're talking to just, like, another cis person.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. It has progressed so much in the last 10 years. Like, we've seen, like, transgender awareness a lot more.
Oh, yeah. more representation in the media for sure.
Mm-hmm. And when was the first time that you saw representation of?
When I was like 14 years old watching Degrassi.
Degrassi? What did you...
Freaking Adam was my character because he was the only little trans boy in that show. And then, spoiler alert, they killed him off. But he was a damn good actor and he was the cutest little thing ever. Little Canadian thing.
So that was the first time that you seen representation? Like, did you know, like, transgender was at that time when you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I saw A True Life on MTV of just like, I'm getting a sex change. Oh. And I watched that and it talked all about trans people. One trans dude got a top surgery and then a trans woman got bottom surgery in the episode. And that's what I first... My introduction to trans was.
And what after watching that, what was your head? Where was your head at after you watched that episode?
It just opened my mind to everything else in the world, and I thought it was pretty cool.
At the moment that you seen the YouTube of Alex, would you say like that's the moment you were like, okay, I am transgender. Like this is yeah. How I identify. It was just like a aha moment. Like okay, this is me.
Yeah, essentially, because my freshman year of high school, I was part of this one collaborative LGBT YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. We posted, like, I think 2 to 3 videos each. It lasted that long. But, yeah, I was watching a bunch of different, just, like, gay representation on YouTube. And then I found trans representation on YouTube, and Alex Birdie was one of them. And I just kept watching his stuff, and I'm just like, I'm trans. Okay, this is how it's going.
Before you got to that moment where you, like, you are trans, what were you feeling growing up that made you feel like, okay, I am trans?
Well, just growing up, I always knew something was, like, a little bit off. Mm-hmm. About me, and I just couldn't pinpoint what it was until like I had all these different puzzle pieces like being thrown at me throughout my childhood of just realizing I should have realized a lot sooner, but yeah, it's just all these puzzle pieces come flying at me, and then that Alex Birdie video was the missing piece of the puzzle that just locked it in for me.
And how did you navigate that? Because you knew that in high school. So, like, how did you navigate those thoughts and feelings, like, growing up in high school in Derby, Kansas at that?
That was in high school. I was at Rose Hill at that time.
Oh, okay.
Which made it way worse.
Okay.
Because I was the only, as they called me, the Gaysian in this little old country-ass white bumpkin town. Oh, still love Rose Hill. Great food from Louis Cafe there, we'll admit. But, yeah, country bumpkin town, and I was the only gay and Asian kid there, got bullied relentlessly. Okay. They tried to say that I was dating this one other gay black kid there, and I was like, he doesn't even like me like that, we're just friends? Hello?
Did the school know that you were, like, getting bullied, or, like...
Oh, they didn't give a darn at all.
For real?
Yeah.
Dang. So, like, you even, like, turned it in and stuff like that, too, and, like, nothing, or they would hear it?
I told my most trusted teachers, and they just let it go under the radar, I guess, or something. They watched out for it, and then my bullies never struck then, so.
Jeez, I'm sorry that happened to you. I feel like it's not, I feel like that's, like, what essentially, like, next, I'm sure you've heard of the story, just, like, getting bullied in school and then, like, teachers not stopping it, the faculty not stopping it, and it just, like, continues to grow and grow. And it's like, you can be a dictator in those moments of just, like, stopping the hate and the bullying, but if you continue to let it go, like, people are, like, that's hurtful, especially, like, now there's online, so you get it from at school and online, so it's just, it's a lot. I'm sorry, like, that was, and you're Asian, and so yep. It's, like, the only Asian in the school that identifies as gay, too, so you're getting double the hate of that.
Yeah.
It's not a, It's not a good feeling at all. And I think we do joke and have our humor about it just to, like, get by. But that shit ain't right. Like, nah. And there's stuff that can be done to prevent that stuff, too, from happening. How did you cope and get through high school with all of that stacked against you?
It took a lot of willpower, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because my coping mechanisms back in high school were not the best, mm-hmm. but they got me through.
Yeah.
And I'm here to this day.
Yeah. So. Making it through just one day at a time.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And you just said, I don't, are you open about your therapy? You just came here from therapy. So have you been going to therapy for a while now? Like,
Yeah, on and off throughout adolescence. And then when I finally got insurance through my job a couple years ago, when I got promoted as manager, like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Then I started going to therapy at Friends University, just around the bend, for like $15 a session.
Oh, nice.
No insurance needed.
Nice. So,
and I get a student therapist, and then I get to say goodbye to them, like, after they graduate, and then move on to the next student therapist.
Okay, so you just have to re...
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you're still, like, seeking that. A lot of people don't go to therapy at all. Mm-hmm. And now I've heard, through the process of, like, transitioning, you need, like, a therapist, a doctor, and, like, a guardian. So did you need that during your experience and your process as well to, like, get the testosterone to start transitioning?
I initially started my testosterone journey at Women's Trusting Women's Clinic, which was a great start to all of that. And then a couple years later, I started going to MCARE, and they've been nothing but helpful for me. So, and that's where I get my testosterone now. And I never really needed a doctor's okay or any therapist's okay for me to start testosterone, because at Women's Trusting Women's, they're like, oh, you're transgender, all right, here you go, bop, here's your prescription.
So, how old were you?
18.
Do you think that also played the factor, because you were 18, that you didn't need that previous information?
I think so, yeah. Plus, she asked, have you been to therapy? And I was like, yes, so much therapy. And she's like, okay, cool.
So what does that look like for you taking testosterone? Like, is it the shot? Like what is
it? Oh, yeah. It's a sub-Q shot in my tummy every other week. I got to get it tomorrow or Thursday morning before I go into work. But, yeah, it's they switch up every side or every other side per week just so, like, scar tissue doesn't build up. And yeah, it's how I've been slowly getting abs. My biceps are fucking huge compared to the limp noodle I used to be as a kid. And then my shoulders have been, like, super broad. My jawline, my voice, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so. That's dope. Well, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you said you've been on it? Since 18? So, like,
yeah,
close to 10 years, 3 years shy.
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah. And you would say, like, during that process of getting that testosterone, you have been living your authentic self more and more as the years go by.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
At what year did it hit you after taking this testosterone? You were, like, passing and you're like, okay. Because you mentioned, like, as you being them thinking, like, you're a cis male, at what point of your process it was like, okay, this is it, this is what I've been wanting?
I want to say it was like around, everybody is different on testosterone, disclaimer, but for me it was around like 2.5 to 3-ish years on testosterone when I started passing, because that's when my most recent voice drop and voice cracks happened. So, yeah.
What has been the hardest part for you during this process?
Just regulating my emotions on testosterone, because I am going through a second puberty, so.
Okay.
And I'm doing this shit willingly and paying for it, too, which makes me mad.
All right, so you do, like, have your, dang, I never even, like, I don't know why I didn't think about it like that, but you are going through a different sense of, like, puberty, like, the attitudes that come with it and, like, the mood changes. How have you been dealing with that?
That's why I go to therapy, friend.
Nice, nice. Understand.
Yeah.
What's been the best part of it so far?
Just all the friends and found family I've made along the way. Everyone that accepts me as Elliot, he, him, just like straight off the bat. And then they show me nothing but love and compassion. Even after they find out I'm transgender, they still continue to show that love and passion because they're just like, I don't care. You're you, and we love you for you and your personality, not for what's in your pants, not for what's up top or anything else like that.
Yeah. So that's good. That's awesome. Like, just being transgender, do you feel like you get support here in Kansas? Wichita specifically, you live in Wichita. Do you feel like you get support here?
Oh, yeah. Especially from the gay Wichita community here. Love all of them with all my heart.
Good. What would you say to someone who's trying to be an advocate for someone who is a part of the transgender community?
Just listen to trans people. Let them have their voice and their space to speak up about issues. And also just protect the fuck out of them. And tell them that you love them. Because you don't know when their last day is going to be. Especially here in Kansas in the Bible Belt. So,
yeah.
Yeehaw.
When you say their last day is going to be, what do you mean by that?
Just because hate crime happens often in the trans community, so.
Right, yeah.
Especially if you're not white, so.
Yeah. What does an ally look like for you?
Just, for example, just a friend to walk to the bathroom with me. And just to make sure that no one's going to harass me while I try and use the men's stall.
Right,
or whatever.
Yeah. You said that you've only had one incident with the bathroom stall at the club. Do you feel like majority of places that you go, you do feel comfortable and just like being your authentic self? Just besides the bathroom, just...
Oh, absolutely. Especially everywhere that I go here locally in Wichita is typically queer-coded anyway. That's why I feel safe going to those places. So,
what do you mean by queer-coded?
Just like it's inviting to queer people. It has rainbows on the front. It says, hey, you're loved here. You're welcome here. Or anything like that. You feel?
So those are like your signs of like, okay, I feel welcomed here. It's like,
oh, yeah. And
you want to go to like, those are the spaces you go to most is when you see that type of acceptance.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I seek out for that stuff too. Like, if I see like a flag or something, like, okay, I am comfortable here. It is like a sense of just like you can like release and like just be relieved when you do see like more welcoming things like that. Just so you know, like this, the owners of this establishment at least understand and get me and they're okay with it.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any organizations that you've worked with closely here in Kansas that have helped you out during your transition and your journey?
Not yet, but I am open to anyone that wants to.
Yeah. Have you, like, worked... So you said MCARE. MCARE you worked with... Do you get involved, like... You've been here for a while. Do you get involved in, like, Pride or anything like that?
My vocal coach, Enjoy Fountain, she's the one that books me at Pride, to go up there on stage and sing and play with my ukulele.
Okay.
And be the musical act.
Okay, so you've recently done that?
Oh, yeah. I was on the same flyer as Gia Gunn for the last Pride at Nafsker Park. And then I played my very first Pride gig at Century 2, which was a dream of mine.
I went to that Pride, I think that was last year. Was it last year or the year before? It was at Century 2, and like they did the drag show, like, in that little area.
Yeah. With all those vendors and stuff in the aisles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was at that one. I performed at that one.
Okay, nice. How do you feel about, like, the Wichita Pride and, like, it,
I love it, but it could be bigger and gayer.
Yeah. Have you been to any other prides before?
Unfortunately, not yet. But I do want to go to like a big city pride and see what the hype is about all of those, because those sound gnarly.
I feel like once you do, you'll really enjoy it. It's a different experience for sure. It was lit. There was just so many people down there and so many vendors and stuff like that. And then I did realize like how small Wichita does, and they don't even really celebrate it in June. It's like they do it in like September or something like that because of the weather. So
yeah,
but it is what it is.
Sometimes they show out, other times not so much. It's hit or miss, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because MCARE hosted something during Pride Month last year, and that was more lit than NAFSCA Park when I was performing, so.
Yeah. And so you said that you perform, you like the ukulele. What made you, when have you started music? How long have you been doing music?
I initially started playing piano first grade, and then I moved up to drums fifth grade, stuck with drums and xylophone and all of that good stuff throughout high school, and then picked up a ukulele ever since I started my transition on hormones, and then I've been using the ukulele to help keep track of my vocal progress.
Okay, so that's
now why. I can hit new notes.
Okay, so you're like having to start completely over in this sense with just like your keys and whatnot of like singing. Is that why you picked up lessons?
I picked up lessons just because I was like, hey, enjoy, my voice is changing, I need help. And she's like, I work with prepubescent boys, I got you.
Nice, that's cool. Shout out Enjoy.
Hell yeah.
She's amazing. Just a good representation for like the queer community here in Wichita. I enjoy her.
As do I.
I wanted to talk just like a little bit more of like your transitioning process, and what that looks like, what that entails. So you say, do you get a shot like every week, every other week, every month?
Every week in my tummy.
Every week you get a shot, and now I know that you're doing fundraisers, like. You're doing events to raise money. Are you doing this for like your weekly shots? Are you doing this for like your surgery?
All of the above, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And what's the cost look like for you for like everything? Like, what does your weekly shots, what does that cost? Your monthly, like what?
Weekly, it's $20 for me to go into my MCARE clinic, have the nice lady practitioner stab me with a needle because I can't do it myself, and then $25 for the vial of testosterone that lasts me about a month or so. Depends on how many vials I get per like Walgreens trip. And then top surgery overall is about $15,000, give or take. So.
When you say the vial, what is that? What's the vial different than the shot?
The vial is what you draw up for the shot.
Okay, so you
it's
just
like
get the
insulin essentially to make it more like digestible for the audience. So
you just go and you get a vial once a month, and then you just take it to the clinic and they do all of it for you.
Yeah,
you just have to pay $20 a week because you don't want to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, dang. So you would save it does save costs if you were
did it at home, but. I'd rather a professional do it just so I don't screw it up. Because back when I used to do my intramuscular injections for testosterone in my leggy, I screwed it up once at home by myself alone. And my leg just whoosh, swelled up, couldn't feel a thing. I had to start massaging the application site. I started lifting weights just to try to get the blood flowing elsewhere. And I finally got feeling back in my leg, but it scared the life out of me, and I vowed not to do that again.
Yeah, that would be scary. I would pay the $20 a week, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely not. Did they tell you, like, what you did wrong?
No.
No? So you never found out what you did wrong? You just...
No, I think I hit something random in there that I wasn't supposed to hit, so...
Yeah. Dang, that would be very, very scary.
Yeah.
Do you feel like welcome, like during that process of going weekly to go get that shot? Like, you don't feel like judgment or anything like by the MCare that you go to?
Oh gosh, no. MCare is like the most inviting like space for any queer person that's looking to get help in either like a physician, if for therapy, for even they have a food bank there. It's like you walk in the lobby, you turn to the left, there's a full cabinet, it's rainbow, it's awesome. And then you open up the cabinet drawers and it's just free food for anybody to take to fill up with anything like that. I highly recommend it. They also have like a clothing drive for anyone that's transgender that wants to swap out their closet, essentially. They bring in like whatever clothes they have and then they swap it out. Or if anything, they, for trans males, they have binders there, I'm pretty sure. So to help flatten chests.
Okay, nice.
Which typically that would cost you $40 online plus shipping. So
that's good that Wichita, Kansas has like that support.
Oh, yeah.
That you can go to locally. That's really good.
Yeah, Amanda created this most amazing space for queer people. And yeah. I highly recommend MCare from the bottom of my heart. My roommate actually used to be the front desk lady for MCare, so.
Okay, good.
That's why they treat me so well there.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that, like I said, that there is that space for people to go to get the care that they need, judgment-free. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like a very safe environment for them to go to. So
oh yeah,
shout out them for sure. Now you, how much money have you raised this for, and how much money are you looking to raise? Are you looking to raise like the 15,000? Are you looking to raise even more money?
I'm looking to raise as much money as I possibly can just towards the transition. Mm-hmm. Because it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. Plus the recovery time after is not a short amount of time either.
Right.
So
what is that recovery time?
4 to 6 months, I believe, for top surgery. And then bottom surgery, I think it takes a little longer. So
yeah, that is a lot of time, like down. Yeah, for sure. And is there another event that you have coming up that people can go to support these fundraisers and funds for you?
Not yet, but stay tuned because I post to my Facebook about events often that I do be hosting, so. And when I do have those, I promote the crap out of them, so. Yeah.
And do you play your ukulele and you sing during those events?
Yeah. Nice. It's a good time.
Good. Do you have your own original songs, or do you just like sing requested songs? Or?
I do mostly covers. My process, to be honest with you, I go on YouTube Music, I type in this song in specific, karaoke, and then I learn it on my ukulele, and then that's how I perform it on stage.
Nice.
So
that's so that like you named so many instruments that you do, so like you're very musically inclined, like that's a talent. That's a good talent to have. It's like a party trick.
Yeah.
Any instrument, you just like you named like 5 instruments that you play, so that's dope.
Yeah, and I got a 6th one at home waiting for me to put batteries in it because I just recently got an automaton, which is, I can show you a picture of one in just a bit, but basically it's like a little plastic or silicone music note guy that you can pitch differently up and down the stem, kind of like a slide whistle, and then you open up, you squeeze the sides of it on the bottom, and it opens the mouth on the guy, and it screams that pitch.
Oh, okay. That's different.
It's really cool. I'm excited for it.
That's different.
$40 Amazon. Hell yeah.
What would you tell someone who may be feeling like they might want to transition or having these thoughts and feelings?
Definitely seek therapy for sure, because my therapist helped me confirm everything back when I was a teenager, and she helped me feel comfortable in my own skin, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge support beam that I had as a kid, because I didn't have any support from my parents at home for being transgender at all. So she was my only beacon of hope and light at that moment for me. But yeah, just get therapy, talk it out, and then hormones, be prepared to pay a lot of money for a second puberty.
Yeah, a whole second puberty of
a whole ass second puberty.
That's, yeah, that's so crazy. You're like, and I'm paying for this willingly,
literally.
but in the long run, it'll be
so worth it.
Yeah, it'll be a lot better. What are your final thoughts, takes, that you want to leave the audience with?
Trans rights are human rights. Protect trans kids, and also support me and my transition at MiniMermis98.
Yes, and that's your Cash App, right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, nice. I want to thank you, Elliot, for coming and joining me today and being open about your story, and hopefully that it relates to many people and they learn something from it. That's what it's about. Gaining more understanding of the community, the process of it, and just being a good ally when they can. So I appreciate you coming and joining me on here. And yeah, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Queen Talk. Please make sure you like, subscribe, comment, and if you have a dollar or two, support Elliot in their transition. Yeah, but family, friends, strangers, love. Be nice. Be nice. Be nice.